something went on here, and something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
Buds, I met Bernie.
We play a game called Who's This Canadian Mask?
And we dip into the TNT mailbag. That's all coming up right now on TNT. Can you hear that, bud?
Oh, yeah.
Can you name the jam? 87?
She's a little quiet.
Listen to this. It's quite a vamp. Wait till the vocal comes in right here.
Rhythm is a dancer.
I think 87 might be when music took a terrible turn for the worse.
I didn't know that was that early.
I know, it's surprising, isn't it?
I thought that was more of an 89 jam. Maybe it was just sneaky and took off a couple years after.
Well, that would have been grade 10 for me at St. Pat's in Halifax. Rhythm is a dancer, breaking it down on the dance floor.
Wow.
Sneaking six Bud Lights in about 18 minutes and then trying to keep it together when you pass by the vice principal.
That's greasy.
How are you, Bud?
I'm good. Fall is in the air. It's actually starting to cool off a little bit here in Toronto.
Not here in Palm Springs.
Here in Palm Springs, the heart of Bob Hope and Buddy Rich areas.
Like
the old classic, like, famous person moves there and buys up all the land, like Three Stooges styles.
I think my presence here has brought the median age down by 3 decades.
Did you have to get to your hotel by golf cart?
No, but I had the greasiest cab driver ever.
Come on.
Yeah, he's been hiding from something. He's on the run, there's no question.
And he has really, some mints on
really
hand?
Long hair. And it was pretty greasy. And he was talking about how he lives out where all the people that just got out of jail live.
Oh.
About 15 minutes out of town, where at least they don't try to get you on the rent.
Just called Second Chance.
Yeah, Second Chance,
or
California.
Or Last Chance. Last Chance, California.
But it's been quite a week. I alluded to the fact that I had quite an encounter on the weekend. I'm doing a three-banger. And by the time you hear this, I'll be home. And don't try to break into my house because there are piranhas in there.
And you're home already.
I left Halifax on Saturday and went to the Canadian Country Music Awards non-broadcast night to present my friend Mike, as I told you, with a humanitarian award for the work that he does up north, which is
fantastic.
Awesome.
We love him.
Couldn't have been happier to be there. It was really a big night for him, and getting to present him with the award was a thrill. Artscancircle.ca is the website if you want to check into the good work that Mike's doing. Mm-hmm. But Mike texts me before I get there and said, Bernie's coming tonight. Keep it on the down low, but he wants to fight you. Because Mike listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
So I got kind of nervous. I was like, I couldn't imagine that TNT would be on Bernie's radar. But I was secretly thrilled. And I felt like, you know, sometimes some folks talk about if they're wearing lingerie in public, it's like their own little secret. I kind of felt like, me seeing Bernie in that environment was like my own little secret. Like, he has no idea what a big part of my life he is.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of stealing glances at him. He was at the table beside us all night. And after I presented the award and I came back and sat down, I looked over and we locked eyes for a minute.
All right.
And it was like Joy Buzzer City.
Yeah.
And all I could think was, hey, Bernie. And I even debated tossing one out from the stage, but it was not the appropriate environment
that would have been
to do
hilarious.
That. So I went for a drink with my friend Mike after the thing, and he says, we're going downstairs because Murray McLaughlin and Denise Donlan and Bernie are holding court at a table.
Perfect.
Well, I thought about it, and I was really tired, and it was really late, and I had an early day the next day, so I pulled the chute. I didn't go. Because I didn't want to... I just have an inner switch when it's like, you know what, time to go.
Yeah.
And I wasn't feeling it as excited as I was. And it sounds like it was a great night. Murray McLaughlin was inducted into the Hall of Fame, as he should be, gave a beautiful speech. It was nice to see Denise. She has a book coming out, by the way. That's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah.
So So the next morning, I'm going to meet Mike at his hotel to go have some breakfast with he and his wife, Jane, and son, Colin. Great people. Mm-hmm. And Bernie's standing outside with his wife. So I go inside and say to Mike, I think that's Bernie. So we go back outside and he introduces me. I met the Bern.
Nice.
Here's the thing. He is funny, sharp, and the way you play him is kind of accurate. He's less irritated than he seems in our little thing. Of course, Gord is probably less annoying in real life than he is in our little thing.
He's always trying to find the bright side.
Yeah. Like I said, he said, we're on our way back to Toronto. I said, oh, are you hitchhiking? And he said, well, yeah. We're going to have to if a cab doesn't show up. Like, he's kind of that guy. So what a thrill that was to meet him and put a personality to the face and history. He was a really nice dude. Talked to him for a few minutes and then went on our way.
Nice. But that's great.
In my head, I just kept thinking, I can't believe it's Bernie.
Yeah. Well, you remember I had that conversation with him on the phone about Coburn, right?
No.
So that's, when I was a few years ago and I was doing some work for the fighting that mega quarry that the Ontario stopped to come in up in Melancton. I was talking to Bernie about the possibility of Bruce Coburn, you know, playing and doing a show, like a benefit for it.
And was he awesome?
Really cool about it. Oh yeah, he was totally great. He was just kind of talking about how Bruce doesn't work that much these days, and he's very centered around his kids and his relationship, I guess, with his daughter, and he's doesn't tour as much as he used to, and he only does very select things live now because I guess he was gone a lot when he was younger with his early family, so he's kind of making it right in that regard. So, and he's kind of semi-retired, Bernie is, so he's but he was super nice, and yeah, like you said, he's a great guy for sure.
Well, it kind of sounds
he's in a million Hall of Fames himself.
Of course. Well, he was, it sounds like he was kind of a hippie guy that just kind of fell into this role, like musician turned manager. And he's had Murray and Bruce and Lightfoot. Like, that's a pretty good triple crown if you're going to rep three guys in Canadian vanity history.
Definitely,
and if they're going to ride with him for that long, too.
Yeah, Bob.
Love so that was kind of a thrill. Nice. Then I went to New York for a couple days.
How was that?
TV shows. It was good, man. It's because I live in the country. It's you know, I get frightened and confused by your honking horns, like Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer styles.
Yeah.
But it was good. Had a few meetings and you know, had some laughs, did some backslapping, and now I'm in Palm Springs just for a couple days doing some work.
Nice.
Then back home, but it is like the back of your knees sweat, hot.
Yeah. Here. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the place that you think, I could go sit in my ass in Palm Springs from now on in my life. I don't need this shit. Like that kind of thing?
It shuts down all summer.
Oh, yeah?
Because it's so hot. And so people are just getting going now.
Nice.
But
I guess the hipster equivalent, because Coachella's right there pretty much.
And I'm going through Coachella today on my way out to La Quinta.
La Quinta. Oh, so, there's a famous resort.
I get here last night. I feel like I'm not, I'm on my own. I kind of had a night to kill, but I was a little tired. So I went down for a swim in the pool. And it's one of those, like, it's only 3 feet deep pools because of the oomch, 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 oomch. They can't have a deep end because masks would drown. Mm-hmm. So I sat in the hot tub and there was a real banged up couple named Michael and Linda. And Michael just kept saying, can I ask you something? Do I seem overly intoxicated to you? Because they wouldn't let me sit in the restaurant. She's like, no, they wouldn't let him sit in the restaurant. We walked in and they said, you can't be served. So I told him to go sleep for a couple hours and come back. And then they served us.
Was this morning or last night?
No, it was last night.
Okay. And he just kept asking you,
can I ask you, like, do I seem really intoxicated? Or I seem like I've had a couple drinks? Or do I seem like, am I offside? And then a kid got in the hot tub and he kept swearing and covering his mouth. But in the 5 seconds after he said it, like, oh, sorry, dear, I shouldn't have said that. Like shining a light on it and making it worse.
Oh, God.
Who's that dude? So what's new in Tagville?
Let me see here. Kids are back in school. Obviously, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
I didn't, I think, well, did I talked to you. I went to Muskoka last weekend. That was nice.
How was it? What'd you do?
Just chilled, you know, hanging out with friends. At the, I've got a lucky bod who's got a really nice spot up there and lets us kind of come up, you know, the odd weekend. So it was just swimming and jumping in the water and a little bit of barbecuing. I almost burned my face off, you know, the move when you
leaned in to check the peppers.
No, you know, you ever notice how every barbecue in the world, that button that says turn the barbecue on button never works? Yeah. Like they never work ever. So it was just starting the barbecue and this thing was like, you turn it on and it's just like, like right away, you can just hear the propane just ripping. So I was a little concerned about that, but I did the match. And, like, I had the cover up. I know I'm not stupid enough to leave the cover down when I lit it. But
you're trying to jam the match just, in that little hole?
Yeah, the match in the hole. But as soon as it got near the hole, it did this huge, like massive fireball. And I'm, like, to the point where my eyelashes and my, like, all the smaller, you know, I guess thinner hairs on my face just got rocked. And Lisa looks at me and I can, like, you know, when you're having an issue trying to keep your eyes open or closed because they're sticking a little bit. And it looked like I had hair plugs a little bit because there was a bunch of like short hairs at the front of my top of my head that were just singed away. Oh, man. Yeah. So I almost blew my face off. But I guess it was kind of like getting a chemical peel where just that outer layer of your skin is taken away.
Brutal. And were you trying to keep it together in front of the kids?
It just happened so quickly that nobody, they were all, you know, in the water at that point. So it wasn't as much of a scene as it could have been. It could have been a lot worse, but I just had a minor singe, but it was a massive flame ball. And I'm sure it's happened to most people.
Totally. I'm a little nervous about propane in general.
Yeah. Just of the hissing and the explosions.
Yeah. And it, like, I know people in Upper Canada heat their homes with gas too, but that's so foreign as a concept to people from the East Coast that anytime I'm staying somewhere that has like a propane fireplace or something, it kind of weirds me out and I don't know if I should go to sleep with it going.
Because you hear those stories of like the whole house blowing up.
Yeah. I don't want to be that guy. Hey, listen stories. To this 87 jam. I think you'll like it.
Oh, nice. The Bomba.
Remember?
Yeah.
It's the Los Lobos cover of the Richie Valens classic for the movie that came out that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Los Lobos are amazing.
They really are.
Yeah, people don't realize how badass those guys actually are, like, talent-wise.
Are they such still great musicians together? Still road
banging? I think so. I assume. I'm pretty sure. Let's have a quick look and see if Los Lobos is still on the road.
This is the interesting thing. I did a lot of research into 1987 jams, and as I mentioned last week, I've had the time of my life, and Joshua Tree both came out in 1987. Oddly enough, I'm not far away from the Joshua Tree. But I opted to go for some one-hit wonders. It were some tracks that kind of had an impact on my life in 1987.
Yeah.
Obviously, there is a lot of music that we are not reflecting in this week's show. But,
for sure.
We kind of talked Lobos, about... Los
Lobos, they're playing the K-Chan Casino on Friday, September 16th in Winter Haven, California.
Yeah, they are.
They're on the road. They haven't stopped. They're still killing it. They got like 50 albums.
So you've crossed paths with those guys?
No, I remember how great they were. And I don't think I've seen them live, but I just know how good they are. Their reputation is quite nice.
Let's talk about TSN Radio for a sec, because I know a lot of buds loved hearing you on there, and you were kind of on the swing shift, sitting in on a bunch of different shows. Is there a shuffle going on there?
It was the summer of Jer.
Yeah.
At TSN 1050. Yeah, I think they're shuffling the afternoon around a bit, because Mike Richards, who went from mornings to afternoons, is like, I guess they parted ways. So there's an opening there, and I guess that's probably why I was doing a lot more there. And yeah, I don't know. I might do some more in the future. We'll see what happens.
So where did Richards go?
I don't know. I'm sure he'll. He's a morning guy, so I'm he's from here, but he had some big success in Alberta in the mornings, and that's when they pinched him for the GTA market, the morning market in the GTA. It's interesting because nobody's really cracked it, and it's a huge piece of the pie that's kind of wavered, and there's been no success on any station necessarily in terms of massive listenership that would compare to like Bob McCowan or something like that in the afternoon.
So who's winning the morning? Roz and Mocha?
Well, no, I'm in terms of sports radio, I'm talking about. But I think Landsberg and Naylor are doing pretty well, actually.
Are they numbers wise?
I think so. They're I mean, 1050 is kind of a smaller chunk, but it's getting better. I mean, they have, I think, with Brian Hayes and Jamie McClellan and O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. I mean, that's kind of, and I think that's probably the biggest show that they have. I mean, now that's in the late afternoons, 4 to 7. It's called Overdrive, and it was Leafs Lunch, but, I mean, those guys are amazing together. So there's people coming in there, but see what happens, exciting. Like I said. Yeah.
It's a fun format, isn't it? The only thing I find a bit jarring is if suddenly there's a hot story in a sport that you don't really know anything about.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like you have to all of a sudden rip into your CFL chops, which I'm not really that comfortable with, but right. I know a little bit. And whenever that happens, I just kind of, generally you're talking to someone who knows everything about it. So you just become more of a, well, you know, I'm going to pretend I'm a listener and I'm going to ask the questions that I don't really know. And generally it's the safer way to go as opposed to trying to be Mr. Oh, listen, I know all this about this player. And what about this backup? And they didn't do the loop in the third quarter like they thought they would. You know, none of that shit.
Well, especially because the buds that listen to that station know their sports, and you can get busted on that stuff pretty quick.
Yeah,
worth mentioning that the CFL folks are buds. They love Canadian. They are, and they listen to the pod, which is a huge honor.
Both of us got some wonderful VIP invitations to the Grey Cup.
It's really exciting.
I'm really stoked. I'm going to go for sure. And Kelly there, Shildis, has been really good to us. And she says that they listen to the pod on the reg in there. And
it's great.
That's pretty sweet. We love the fact that we've began a relationship with the CFL, because there's not much more Canadianity afoot than in the CFL. And people that live out in the West, especially in places like Saskatchewan and Alberta, I mean, that's kind of the lifeblood and the epicenter of the CFL. And when you see games out there, you understand that's why it's still a very strong and definitely real sport that will be here for a long time.
As it should be. Speaking of Canadianity and afoot, when I was at the Canadian Country Music Awards, I met this guy and looked down, and he was wearing red Adidas sneakers with a white maple leaf on the toes.
Wow, I haven't seen that.
I've never seen them before.
Canadianity boots?
I said, where did you get those? And he said, I got them in Greenwich Village in New York. I was like, that's so crazy. I'm going there tomorrow. So
the Adidas original store in Soho.
Yeah. So there's the Soho one and the Village one, and they're very close by. And my plan was to get us both a pair and surprise you with a pair of Canadianity kicks. But when I went to the first place,
They were $480.
No, they didn't even have them.
Oh no. So I don't know if they were
part of some like Adidas Olympic collection or limited edition or something. The guy said they had lots of stock when he was there. Which I think
was too long ago. Did they say it was sold out?
Well, I was asking about whether they'd have size 12, because I have pretty big grape stompers. Yeah. But they not only did they not have them, they'd never heard of them, and I went to two places. So sorry, bud.
Ah, and we'll figure it out, bud.
We'll figure it out. That's really excited about the game that we're going to play today.
Yeah.
Which is Name This Canadian Math. Is that what we decided on?
Who's This Canadian Math?
Who's This Canadian Math? It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be good times.
So let's take a little break on TNT 87, and we'll be back with Who Dis Canadian Mask. I'll let Richard Marx take us to break.
Fantastic. Wait with the for Sidney it. Crosby 87.
You know this lick.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Remember?
Back then, all those stupid drum sounds.
But before you say anything, I don't think Pet Shop Boys got the due they deserved.
What do you mean? They were so popular in Europe. They still are. They do like Wembley on their own.
This jam, What Have I Done to Deserve This, with Dusty Springfield. It's a classic. All right, that's enough of that.
Yeah.
That era
when the sounds were just ridiculous. Everything had so much air around it. The sounds of the drums and shit.
Like, did drummers just take five in the late 80s?
Pretty much. In the early 80s, once those machines started kicking in, yeah. A lot of guys thought it was lights out.
The end of the drummer.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Well, fortunately for us in Canada, it wasn't Jeremy Taggart. It wasn't the end of the drummer.
No, it wasn't.
He went on to achieve big things.
Let's play this fun game called, what's it called again? Who's
this Canadian mask? Yeah. Who this mask?
And we actually, we're going to give each other three clues describing themselves as if they were like behind a curtain. And the last thing clue will always be like, I'm a blank looking math.
Yep.
I love it.
Did you write it in a I am? Is that how yours?
Yes, roll? I did it in a I am vibe.
Okay. All right, good. You go first.
Okay. My first one. I'm a stoner from BC. Second clue. I have the most annoying laugh since Eddie Murphy. Third clue. I'm a works at the genius bar looking mask. Who am I?
Wow.
The stoner thing, the most annoying laugh thing, that should nail it.
I feel like it's Keanu Reeves.
Nope.
Darn it.
I think he's from Winnipeg, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah, he's a stoner from BC. I don't think Keanu is a stoner. Might be, but I don't know about that.
We kind of present like
super one. Super annoying laugh, like really annoying laugh.
I have no idea.
Seth Rogen.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought he was from Montreal. Annoying laugh.
No, he's from BC.
Oh, darn it. Stoner
should
be
pretty sure
enough.
He's from BC. Isn't he not from... I hope I didn't blow you up by that.
Well, that's worth a Google.
No, he's from Vancouver, man. He's full on.
All right. I blew it.
All one right. Nothing. One nothing.
Ready?
Yep.
I'm an indie movie actor. I was in Juno. And I'm a works at Radio Shack looking mask.
Ellen Page?
Incorrect.
Oh,
although
who is it?
Technically, if you thought she was at work at Radio Shack looking mask, then I would accept that answer, but it is not the answer I was looking for. And that's why it was a deliberate mislead.
Sarah Pauly?
Incorrect. Although she was in Go, and that was a great movie.
Yeah. I don't know. Who is it?
Michael Cera, bud.
Oh, he is a Radio
Shack. Was in Juno, and is a works at Radio Shack looking mask.
Ah, that is a good one.
Okay.
Solid.
1-1. Hit me.
1-1. Okay. I'm a B&E rocker from Alberta.
What's B&E?
If you've heard one of my... What? B&E, break and enter.
Gross.
B&E rocker from Alberta. If you've heard one of my songs, you've heard them all. When my hair's cut short, I'm a Wayne Gretzky looking mask. Who am I?
Is it country singer Gord Bamford?
No.
That's the Krogues.
It's the Krogues.
He is a Gretzky looking mask.
He is when his hair is short.
All right. I'm an Ottawa native. I am an actor and musician. And I am a works at a rental car counter looking mask.
Oh, that's
there are
tough.
Two acceptable answers for this. Ottawa, actor, musician, works at a rental car counter looking mask.
Alanis Morissette?
That is one acceptable answer, but not the main answer I was looking for.
Who was the, he's the other one?
She could look at a, work at a rental car counter.
Yeah, definitely.
The other answer I was looking for got a start on cable TV. Had a show on MTV.
Tom Green.
Yep.
Tom Green.
Works at a rental car counter like looking map.
Yeah. Actually looks like the guy that comes in, like, oh, the car is ready looking map.
Yeah, like he washes the cars.
The thing. Yeah.
He's a car jockey looking map.
The guy who always comes in and out the door always looking like he's doing something.
Like, Tom, can you go grab a new Ford Scootily? Yeah, I'll be right back. And then it's 15 minutes.
Yep. Yeah, and he's like gone in a half an hour because he takes it out and gets high.
Yeah.
On the airport.
He
and
is
the,
that man.
The cell phone lot.
Oh, he's in the cell phone parking lot.
Yeah, with your ripping Ford Scootily a doobsy.
With the window open.
Yeah. With the window open every time someone's like, what's that smell in this car?
Car cleaner. By the way, I rented a Hyundai Santa Fe Sport. To go to London, Ontario, it had the sharp scent of urine.
Gross.
I'm using my indoor hotel voice, if you can't tell. So I don't annoy neighbors.
Your Palm Springs hotel voice, because it's like next door, this guy's all upset if he hears anything.
It's crunch, crunch, crunch next door.
Yeah, for sure.
But I have never smelled something that smelled more like urine. And I suppose it must happen that people wet themselves in rental cars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a four-window downer the whole way.
And there's no fix in that.
No, because then you
that's
get
like
out
and you
think you
smell
like
it. That's like the Seinfeld episode. It's like sell the car styles.
I had no other choice.
You ready for
me.
Your...
Yep.
Your next batch? I'm a button-pushing beep music guy from Ontario. I wear a huge mask while I perform... But I paint my Lambo so people know it's me rolling by. I'm a make it quick barista looking mask.
He is dead mouse.
Yes, nice.
Really, this game is just a long way to go to diss someone.
Hey, I wear a mask, but I paint my car.
Yeah, so
artwork.
So you don't know it's me, but you know it's me.
Exactly.
Have you ever met that map?
Nah.
No. Okay, ready?
Whatever, salad. Okay, go ahead.
There are two possible answers for this one, too.
Nice.
I have a beard. I drive a motorcycle. I'm a guy your sister met on Tinder and brought home for Thanksgiving dinner looking mask.
That's got to be Keanu Reeves.
Yes. What's the second acceptable answer?
Second acceptable. Exceptional. I don't know.
Beard.
What's that guy?
Bike. Tinder. Thanksgiving dinner.
What's his name? Is it Joshua Jackson? That guy.
Oh, that would work too.
Right.
That would really work. There's a lot of bearded biker masks.
So there's a third?
Well, I was thinking
George Strombolopoulos.
Yeah, that's who I thought. Hey, guys, this is George. Hi, George.
Hey, he's a really nice guy, that George.
Yeah. Talking to the dad in the library before dinner. Comfortable in any social setting. He's that dude.
Definitely. That's awesome.
What'd you guys think of George? He's really nice.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy. Very smart.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
I'm a piano tinkler from Vancouver Island. Nothing turns me on more than the sound of my own voice.
Ouch.
I'm a David Cronenberg looking mask.
Wow.
Who am I?
I'm going to tell you, after clue number one, I thought it was Diana Krall. But after clues number two and three, I think it's the Foss.
Yeah. This is David Foster. You nailed it.
He is a Cronenberg looking mask. Good one. This is a fun game.
This is great.
Who's this Canadian mouse?
I was texting back and forth the other day with Ewan from the Sheepdogs, who are super bods, and they all listen to the pod. He was listening to the pod at the time, and he said he really enjoyed the lyric or lie game.
Oh, really?
He said it was classic.
I think that's a new hit. I really had fun playing it, and I had fun coming up with the lyrics too.
Yeah, there's lots of great bands that are out there that love listening to the pod.
Well, especially if you did a deep dive and started doing like Mitsu lyrics.
Like, yeah.
Hello, goodbye. Like, is that a real one or not? Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
You say dog and I say why. Okay.
A dog.
Can I have one of dogs? Can I have one of dogs and two ketchup? I am a TSN on-air personality. I am of Italian descent. I am your dad's friend who's going through a rough time looking mask.
Wearing Crocs, too. Gino Retta.
Yes.
That's the best. I did a charity event with him, a hockey thing, for an autism awareness group called Jake's House, and it was like a puck drop or something, and there was a bunch of I think Rick Nash and a bunch of NHL players and stuff. Anyway, he was there and he had Crocs rocking.
Did he?
Classic. Yeah.
That Croc
T-shirt Crocs. He's the best. I love Gino Reddit.
Yeah, solid dude. Like all those TSN guys are.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Dave Hodge, super musicophile. Dave Hodge loves Arkells and the Hip.
Yeah, he loves music for sure. He's always talking about some hep new band.
Gord is a little hard to read.
Gord.
Gord, who calls the games. What's his last name?
Gord Miller?
Yeah.
I don't know him really that well.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he's fine.
He is excellent. He's a good dude. Play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
How hard is that job, by the way?
Oh.
Play-by-play?
Really hard.
You don't get a second chance at
play-by-play?
It. Yeah. And the story's a little old now, but Elliot Friedman's gaffe at the Olympics, man, he handled that well.
Oh, the Phelps. Yeah.
Just owned it. And I saw there was a really nice story on the internet this week about a family that unexpectedly lost a kid. And they found out after the kid was gone that the kid had been watching the night that Elliot messed up, and he started a Twitter account for the sole purpose of sending Elliot a tweet saying, "Hey man, don't worry about it. We all mess up sometimes." And his family didn't even know that he had a Twitter account. So the thing that's even more awesome is Elliot recorded a 5-minute video to send to the family and friends, and they played it at the funeral. And he was just talking about his experiences with death and how he lost important people in his lives. And he was giving kind of advice on what he learned to help him get through hard times and losing people. Just a really nice story. Yeah. He's a solid bod.
Yeah. Well, I think the fact that Elliot being a bod and a good dude was probably why everybody gave him a pass. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because it happens to anybody, but I think it's more because people respect him so much that they're like, "Hey, man, like you can't ever say this guy doesn't know his stuff."
No, he sure does.
And this is just one of those things that happens.
Well, and the other thing is he was thrust into covering swimming 2 weeks before the Olympics. He'd never done it before because Steve Armitage couldn't make it and had to learn all that, figure out how to call swimming. But I wonder why more people don't do that when they mess up. Just say, "Yep, that was terrible. And it's unacceptable. No excuses. That was a big mistake." Because then it's kind of the end of the story. But if you go into excuse mode and finger-pointing mode, "Oh, it was my producer. They didn't tell me. They switched lanes at the last minute."
No, I know.
Then that just looks worse. But he just owned it.
Yeah,
and
for
man,
sure.
That was classy.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep, definitely. And do you know what I mean?
Okay, hit me.
Okay. I'm an actor from St. John. I've got the horniest voice in Canada, and I like to pause during conversations to make people uncomfortable. I'm a barefoot CEO looking moth.
D. Sunzi. Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
Good one. Man, I told that story at the live show in Fredericton about going to interview Donald Sutherland, and I was trying to connect with him, and I said, hey, by the way, I'm from the Maritimes.
And there's nothing.
7-second pause before he said, whereabouts? Like, I had just enough time to call my entire life into question and whether I should ever have been born. But really solid dude, really classy and elegant, which is not a word you use to describe dudes very often. But his presence is certainly commanding.
But couldn't you see him like being like a CEO, like, let's go outside today.
Yeah.
With like no socks or shoes and going out and sitting in the woods to do the meeting.
Let's have this meeting on the grass. Think outside the box.
Feeling the grass.
Have you ever met Keith?
Remember, I don't know if I thought I told you the story once, like in my old, when I lived downtown Toronto in a loft, I was walking my wiener dog to take a piss at the end of the night. And I think that was the early days during TIFF. And up comes a hammered Kiefer Sutherland with some girl that I guess that lived in the building. And he's like, hey, look at your dog there. That's a wiener dog. Look at the wiener dog. And he just kept going on and on about the wiener dog. And I was just like, yeah, that's Kiefer Sutherland, all right. And that was, I think, before 24 and all that stuff.
I've known you this long. It's the first time I hear about this wiener dog. What was the wiener dog's name?
Yeah. I had a wiener dog. His name was Honus.
What happened to him?
It was kind of like a part of a relationship back then where the dog went with the relationship.
And understood. I was
like, all right, you take the dog. That's fine.
His name was Honus, as in the onus is on
Honus.
Him.
As in Honus Wagner, the wonderful shortstop, the Flying Dutchman.
That's a great name for a dog.
It is, right?
Okay, you ready?
Just like my parents had a dog named Nolan. That's a classic name for a dog, too.
A baseball dog?
Yeah, Nolan Ryan.
Baseball named dog? There are probably a lot of baseball
names. I'm sure.
Is our dog Big Pappy?
Is our dog Mickey?
Hey, Josh Donaldson's getting an MRI.
Josh Donaldson?
That doesn't sound very good. He's getting an MRI.
Who is Poppy?
No, Donaldson.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he hurt his hip or something like that. He jarred his hip.
Well, he's getting an MRI.
I guess he's checking to see. Well, I hope he's okay because the Jays are slipping a little bit.
Yeah, they sure are.
Nobody likes a September slide. They're still in a playoff spot, but it's wild card at this point, and that's a little unnerving.
They're just making it interesting, bud. I am a singer.
I hope so.
I am a singer. I am Quebecois. I am Marsha from The Office who brings stinky lunches looking mask.
Celine Dion?
Yes. Celine Dion with her own line of mustard.
I am one of those women who goes, come on. You know, the Quebecois that...
No, that you've talked sound? About this before. I don't know the sound.
Like the arm smack. Come on.
I didn't hear that, but I was on the beach in PEI Labor Day weekend, and I heard a frustrated Quebecois mom say to her kids, "Hey, mais voyons donc, quel déjeuner?" Trying to get them to look over at her camera, and they were just partying in the sand. Mais voyons donc, quel déjeuner? Like, see?
What is that? What's?
It's like, oh, come on, saying? Look over here. Regardez ici. People really talk like that, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All fast.
I love Who's This Canadian Mavd.
Yeah, that was a fun game.
Super fun. We'll take a break on TNT 87 and be back with more. Oh, we'll dip into the mailbag because Bud's been sending questions.
Yeah, we'll dip into the mailbag, but I think you should take us out on a jam, if that's possible.
This is actually a jam that I really dig by a band that I really dig, and I'm curious to hear what you think of them. Take a listen.
All right, let's see.
Can you name them yet?
R.E.M. This one goes out to the one I love. It's a classic. I was in an R.E.M. tribute band.
You hit the post even when you're not trying. What jams did you play in the cover band?
This was one of them.
I played this jam in a cover band too.
No way.
We have so much in common, Tagsy.
I did the Mike Mills backup jam vocals.
From your drum kit?
Yeah, maybe we should do an R.E.M. song one night on a live show.
Love it. I'm so in. We'll take a break and be right back.
Let me ask you this right quick, you know what I mean?
Dan Hill.
Canadianity, 1987.
With Vonda Shepherd.
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to her?
How did I know? Vonda Shepherd sang the song for, was it I Don't Want to Wait from Dawson's Creek?
No, that's Paula Cole.
Right. Did she sing the Ally McBeal song?
Maybe, because I don't know that one.
She did.
Other big jams.
Yeah, the Ally McBeal theme. Search in My Soul, it's called.
Walk Like an Egyptian was a big jam.
I love the Bangles. This is Vonda Shepherd, Search in My Soul, the Ally McBeal theme.
That's what it is?
Oh, yeah, I remember this. Is Vonda Shepherd Canadian?
I don't know. Kind of a Sheryl Crow sound in mask.
Yep. Tell us about how much you loved Ally McBeal.
I never really knew much about that show.
There was a baby that followed her around. That's all I really know.
The dancing baby. Was that like a... That was
baby looking map.
That was the first kind of meme, I guess, right?
Yeah. Vonda Shepherd is not Canadian. We have so much to talk about. How about Doug Ford writing a book?
Yeah, the tell-all. The tell-all.
Everybody thought he was going to throw his hat in the ring for the Conservative Leadership Party, but he was like, psych.
I think he should just button up and cut it out, and Michael Ford should take the charge in that family, to be honest. I mean, he seems to be way more understanding and even-keeled as a person. I mean, he called into the show on TNT a couple weeks ago. And
yeah, he did.
Just seems like a complete opposite comparatively in terms of the tough and gruff and BS-ness of Doug and even Rob, when it's just the unprofessional side. You know, it sounds like he's kind of got everything dialed in. I mean, he marched in the Pride Parade. He's got a, you know, he seems to have a more level head with things. There's no hot-headed stuff going on with him. I think they should just groom him and then just be glad that they can keep some semblance of their name in politics, you know.
Next Generation.
Yeah, for
well,
sure.
Well, the mistake that Doug made, I thought, was saying before the press conference, I'm going to announce something that is going to blow the minds of Canadian politics and media.
And it certainly didn't.
Unless it was a deliberate fake out, it certainly didn't. The announcement was so underwhelming.
Yeah, I know. But whatevs, I'm sure people will enjoy it.
Speaking of underwhelmed, if that's a word, Tons, the band with Michael Neal and Chris Murphy and Matt Murphy,
yep,
is going on tour with Young Rival from Hamilton.
There you
go. They're great buds and a great rock band.
Nice.
You heard it here first. If you get a chance to see Tons and Young Rival, that's a night you won't regret, I promise you.
T-U-N-S.
Yep. Technical University of Nova Scotia.
That's what it's from?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if that's what they named it after, but there is Tons in Halifax for sure.
I love that.
So what do you want to do? Do you want to dip into the mailbag?
Didn't we almost have it all? Remember that jam in 87?
Yeah, let's slow dance to that.
Let's dip into the mailbag.
Okay. This one's from Brian K. With your work taking you to the USA, tell us about the best sleigh you gave to a stater who attempted to diss Canada.
Nice. The best sleigh. You?
Well, the thing that came to mind was when people use the term ice hockey, I always find a way to use the term grass baseball.
Oh, nice.
In the same conversation.
Yeah.
It's like low-key diss, but they're like, grass baseball, you can just call it baseball. Exactly.
Yeah.
Mic drop. Yeah.
Nice, that is a mic drop.
But generally speaking, I get along with American folks. They're super friendly and super nice.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't. There's more intrigue and, we both know people down there that are just as nice as people up here, so that the idea that Canadians are just nicer people isn't necessarily a fact. I think the true statement of that is Canadians tend to be a little more private in a way and almost guarded, and they kind of mask that guarded undertone with questions about the other person, and you know that tends to sound like it's being nice, but it's also redirecting the conversation back into their boat until they know more about the person.
Yep. I also know that they are ferociously proud, generally, of being Americans. Like, anytime you make a Trump joke or something, people are like, why don't you shut your mouth, J-Rock?
Yeah,
stick to Canada and what you know. Yeah. How crazy is this Hillary body double thing?
I don't know.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, she was thinner, is what they're saying, all this stuff.
Yeah, and people are like, look at the earlobes, look at the hair. Her middle finger's longer than her index finger, and that's not the case in this double.
It's insanity.
I don't know what's crazier, that people are actually considering that's a possibility, or the fact that it's actually being entertained. Like, someone pointed out, if it's actually being entertained, that is in and of itself symbolic of a much bigger problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, look where it's gone. I mean, I remember every single, every other election I've ever seen in my life, like, stuff would get weird, but it's ridiculous, the whole thing with Trump's tax returns, Hillary's health, and then not to mention just all the slagging is just so deep, and it's not even necessarily by Clinton or Trump. It's just kind of the conspiracies that are flying back and forth. People saying Bernie's coming back, and people saying that she's, yeah, like you said, like, how crazy is it to think that she's not in a hospital laid up, and someone else is on the campaign trail for her? Like, I don't even know what to think anymore. It's so crazy.
Well, it's certainly a stamina gig, and you know, at anyone at that age pounding the schedule as hard as they do, Trump and Hillary, that would require a lot of stamina if you were in the best of health. I can't imagine if you're tangling with pneumonia, as they've suggested several people in her camp might be.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting how, you know, in Republican past, it was always anti-Russia and like, we want to protect America. Now that there's this like almost a thought of an alliance or something with Putin, with Trump, it's just like, what the fuck's going on? Where'd that come from? And why? And, you know, it's just so bizarre to think how's that a positive thing to align yourself with a dictator that fills his country with propaganda every day?
The only thing I know for certain is, as complicated as the American system is, and it takes that long to designate candidates for each party, and they have candidates that nobody's super happy with, it's weird. Like, there isn't a clear-cut winner. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, I remember seeing
what's your gut?
A popular internet meme, I guess, is this poll that says who's the best chance for president of the United States, and it's like Hillary Clinton 6%, Donald Trump 4%, and 90% a hard to open pistachio nut.
Who takes the time to do that stuff?
I know, but I'm glad that they do it because it's funny stuff.
Digby John asks, thoughts on legal weed in Canada? Bud, ask the buds.
It's definitely going to happen. And it's one of the most legitimate ways to make money and a new source of economy for a government. Everybody's seen the influx economically in Colorado and Washington, and just it's just one of those things that I'm surprised hasn't happened years ago. So I'm sure it'll happen soon.
I just think the government hasn't figured out how to manage it.
Well, I mean,
how to make sure they get dough from it.
If Americans can do it, then Canadians can definitely do it. You know, if you look into
the
stores that they have, like in Colorado, it's like walking into the Apple store in terms of like cleanliness and the professionalism. And it's just, it's dialed right down to the point where people, the idea of being some hippie stoner with dreadlocks that stinks, it has turned into, you know, Seth Rogen behind the Genius Bar trying to persuade you into edibles because it's better for your health.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Super growth industry, that's for sure.
Yes.
This from Jamie Gagnon.
Gagnon.
Any discussions with Jared Kiso to debut Andrea and Laramie on Letterkenny?
Wow. That would be fantastic.
No, but safe to say, without jinxing it, there is a remote possibility that Andrea and Laramie might appear on a TV screen near you at some point in the not too distant future somewhere. Yes.
And that's...
How's that?
That's perfect, and it's true. I love that.
Yep. And it's exciting.
It's very exciting, and we hope to have more news that's deeper and bigger in that regard. But yes, that's all factual.
Yes, but it's nothing until it's something.
Exactly.
But it's possible.
Exactly.
Leslie Boyd, thoughts on Gord and his new album/film?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, what he's doing for First Nations communities, the fact that it's true that you know, our history books were rewritten to exclude a lot of the Native communities and the trouble that they've had and the trouble that people that came here caused them, and it's time to right the wrong. He says it might take several generations, but it's time to start now. I think it's super important, and there couldn't be anything more important than that than trying to give a person, a human background, truth and the idea of everything of their culture and telling people how poorly that they've been treated for you know, hundreds of years.
You hear the expression all the time, like, if you knew you only had so much time left, what would you do? Or,
yep.
You know, people encouraged to live like they're dying. It does say a lot about him and his character that he is choosing to dedicate his precious time to advance the cause of others. I mean, I can't think of a more noble use of a profile.
Yeah, I mean, to say that... you know, it is wonderful to be Canadian, and he's kind of in, nobody knows that kind of position unless you're in it, and to look at and think about what his perspective actually is, and for him to say it's just not comforting to say being Canadian without this kind of sore to be, you know, at least tried to mend it.
Mitch Lawson, what is the worst Canadian city you've ever had to visit in your careers?
Well, the worst Canadian city, I don't know if there is a worst Canadian city. There could be a worst case situation with someone that happens in a Canadian city. I wouldn't blame the city, though. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say Tampa.
Tampa? Oh, not Canadian?
It's practically a Canadian city.
Is it?
No, it's practically Canadian. There's so many Canadians down there.
Yeah, the snowbirds.
Sheldon C., looking for some new bands to listen to. Any good Canadian bands I should give a listen?
There's some fantastic ones, and it depends how new you want to talk. I mean, there's Rural Alberta Advantage are fantastic. Obviously, the Arkells are amazing. Winter Sleep, I mean, those two bands aren't necessarily new, but you can't go wrong with their music. You just Darcy's. You mentioned Tons. If you're talking brand new.
And Young Rival.
Yeah.
July Talk is getting big traction. Have to mention our buds, Fortunate Ones.
Yeah. And Flatliners. Good buds.
Yeah. And if you like traditional music, Tom Power from CBC is in a traditional band called, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right, Dardanelles.
That sounds right.
A bunch of Newfoundland buds. Mm-hmm. And they can play their instruments and burn the house down. So that's worth checking out if you like the trad stuff.
Get on it, kids.
How many podcasts is it from Carolina to Kingston?
Well, I think I'm going to guess that's probably what, like a 16-hour drive maybe around there? Does that make sense? You would know more than me from the east coming down. Does that make sense? Maybe less?
Yeah, sure.
Maybe less. Maybe 12, 13 maybe?
I can't imagine listening to that many in a row, but I think that's how people pound them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm thinking it's probably, well, I know it's 24 hours from Toronto to Florida, so that's how I would gauge it. It's probably about 13, 14 hours. How far is it to Carolina from Truro?
Huh. It's got to be, yeah, 16, 18 hours.
Yeah. It's a lot of pods, Bod. You could go, you could make your way through the 60s and into the 70s. Have a good time there.
I love that some folks are being patient with us as we are a little sluggish getting our pods out, and they circle the wagons back and listen to old ones. So they're slowly catching up.
Yes.
Like they started listening to current ones and then they go back and listen. We appreciate that.
Oh, that's beautiful. We are kind of rough and tumble, but we're still getting them out there on a week at least. And it's a, let's not forget our bod, Tim from the Arkells, has been all over the place. And he actually had an issue where his computer got fried last week, and he actually did episode 86 on a bod's computer. So that's pretty cool that he I don't think anybody noticed the difference, but he cut it on Logic instead of Pro Tools, which is a big difference for him.
That's bod material.
It is.
This from Brent Ackerman. What's one role or gig you wish you'd gotten at the time, but looking back are glad you didn't?
Let me think. Well, there was a couple of bands that I didn't get a gig with, but I don't think it would have been a big deal if I had it or not. Obviously, you know what I mean? I'm sure the same for you. It's like, I think that would be more for you because you've actually probably had way more opportunities kind of come and go with acting, right? Because you can see maybe I was going to do this and it didn't have, like, for example, like, weren't you, up for John Stewart's show?
Well, I auditioned to be a correspondent on it, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't get very far.
No, but I mean,
what they didn't need is another white dude with a cocked eyebrow who likes the sound of his own voice. Yeah. John?
But, I mean, everybody who's done the correspondent gig on that show has done things that are fantastic, like with Samantha Bee. That was a good step for her, probably, right?
I mean, Steve Carell.
Was John Oliver, did he do that too?
Yes, yeah. And Steve, with the glasses, Colbert, he did it too.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't regret it because I'm really happy with where I am in life, but I know I was in the mix for The Soup, the job that Joel McHale got. Yep. That would have been a fun gig.
Yeah.
But I don't ever wish that it had turned out differently or that I had gotten that gig. Tom Smith, are we ever going to hear material from last year's podcast tour?
Eventually. I think the answer to that is just we've been doing everything now and current, and as much as we'd like to, we don't want to. It's difficult for one thing because it's going back and Tim having to kind of cut it together, and they're still there, but I think hopefully they will come to light, but maybe they'll come to light when we're, you know, when there's a gap of time to that there's no new episodes coming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
an evergreen one.
As fun as they were, that's the thing. I mean, it's not that bad that they were kind of to the ears only in the room. That's not a bad thing necessarily because everybody had a good time.
Chris Thorne asks, any plans on coming to Vancouver for a live show? We are going to have an announcement in coming weeks about some more live dates.
Yep.
We're trying to get as far and wide across the country as we can,
mm-hmm.
Planning it in and around our real lives. But yes, the answer to your question is yes, at some point. No concrete plans just yet, but some live dates will be announced in the coming weeks.
Nice.
Good questions.
Yeah, it's solid. Ask a bod.
Thank you so much for writing in, because we love to hear from folks, and as always, we love to hear emails. What's the email address again?
taggartandtorrens@gmail.com.
And you man the emails.
I do. And there's always something fun on there. It's about time today to have a look. Yeah, Gord?
It's 1987, and you know that the type of music that kids listen to is changing. Am I right?
I would say definitely, for sure.
And so one of the challenges that I have as an artist is I want to stay current.
Well, maybe are you thinking of maybe getting some of those new sounds, those airy drum sounds, or some of the sonic things that are happening? We could do that.
Well, there's I was watching music video television at home last night, and there was a very energetic young performer whose name is George Michael.
Oh yes, yeah, he's very and he was very popular with the kids.
And you know that the challenge in writing songs in the 60s and 70s has been you want to suggest that things go on between men and women, but this George Michael character, he just comes right out and says it.
Yeah, I believe he has that that song about sex right now.
Yeah, it goes, I want your sex, I want your love. Yeah. What do you think if I did a cover of I Want Your Sex?
Well, how would you portray it? Is it, I mean, George is kind of looks very sexy. He's got the sunglasses.
Exactly. It's not much of a stretch already.
I don't know, Gord. I just don't. I worry that people might not get the same idea. I just don't know. I don't know if that's going to come across. So the kids today, I mean, let's face it. You're not 25 years old anymore. I mean, your body.
Well, Bernie.
Yep.
Maybe this Nanaimo bar square begs to differ.
Oh, thanks for bringing that by. You know, I...
That's all it takes to turn him around.
He's just so, his mouth starts watering right away.
He's waving it under his eyes. Yeah. Hey, they turn eye contact with the square.
Good times on 87,
good chatting, bot.
All right, bot.
Talk to you next week, bot.
Boom, gang,